Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Good morning and welcome to it. It's Feedback. It's Friday version. 715-845-2155. If you want to be a part of the show, it's Open Phone Friday. So call. Be a part of the program. We'll talk about anything that you want to talk about this morning. In the meantime, while we wait for you to figure out where your phone is, we will give you an update on the Duck Dynasty Phil Robertson controversy that we dedicated the show to yesterday. I'm not going to do the whole thing today. Not a whole lot has changed. There's not really any new development, so there's not any reason to rehash what we went over and then what a lot of the other talking shows did yesterday as well. I believe it has been well covered. Although the media, in their ignorance, is continuing to slant it that Phil Robertson's comments were bigoted, racist, etc. They weren't. They were just his views. And again, this is not an issue of free speech. This is an issue of tolerance. Those on the left are expecting us on the right to be tolerant of their immoral and illogical behavior. We're supposed to accept it as normal and shut our pie holes and just accept it. Yet when we express our views and we live our lives the way we want to, we are intolerant, bigoted, racist, et cetera, et cetera. It's hypocrisy. When you have hypocrisy as the only weapon to defend your actions, then you have a guilty conscience. You know what you're doing is wrong, and all you're doing is trying to find excuses and reasons to justify your actions. That's it. You know what you're doing is wrong, but you, instead of being honest with yourself, are just trying to make others convinced that you're right. That's all there is to it. In the update, the family and result of Phil Robertson being put on permanent hiatus from the show, the family, the rest of the family, the Robertson family, came out, issued a statement saying that they have no intention of continuing to do the show without Phil. Keep in mind, Phil is the patriarch. He's the daddy. Quote, "We have had a successful working relationship with A&E, but as a family, we cannot imagine going forward with the show without our patriarch at the helm. We are in discussions with A&E to see what this means for the future of Duck Dynasty." They also said Phil would never incite or encourage hate. Nowhere in his comments yesterday incited or encouraged hate. The quote says, "We are disappointed that Phil has been placed on hiatus for expressing his faith, which is his constitutionally protected right." His right to free speech is not being challenged. "We have a successful working relationship," blah, 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 and I mentioned that. The important thing here is Phil Robertson's right to free speech is not being challenged. Phil Robertson is not, as a result of his comment, he has not been arrested. He's not being sanctioned by the government. He's not being nothing like that. This is a private enterprise issue. He had the right and the freedom to say what he said. Has the responsibility to accept the responsibility. He has the responsibility to accept the consequences of what he said. A&E has the right to suspend him, to fire him, to cancel the show in its entirety. They also have the opportunity to suffer the consequences of their actions of suspending him and possibly canceling the show if they decide to. Here's an interesting thing. There's a lot of people that came out and voiced their opinions in favor of what Phil Robertson said and against A&E's decision to bounce him. When the family said that they're going to have to reevaluate their relationship with A&E Network, Johnny on the spot and a brilliant marketing man, Mr. Glenn Beck, got in touch with him and said, "Hey, if you're thinking seriously of severing your relationship with A&E, you can come on to my network. I'd be more than happy to have you." Brilliant move. Sarah Palin came out. She said, "Free speech is an endangered species." She's right. Those intolerance, hating, and taking on the Duck Dynasty patriarch for voicing his personal opinion or taking on all of us. She's right. She also later suggested that the show Scoot from A&E for the Sportsman Channel, where she has her own reality show on the way, whether or not they can scoot to, as Sarah said, scoot to the Sportsman Channel or to Glenn Beck's The Blaze Network. That's all within contract negotiations and lawyers and so forth. Sean Hannity did the same thing I did, copycat. He encouraged his audience to call A&E. He supplied, however, his sources supplied some private, non-published phone numbers for his audience to call. Brilliant move, Sean. I'm glad you did that. Had I had those numbers, yes, ma'am, sir, everybody, I would have given them out as well. One thing that Sean Hannity did say is that he expressed a little bit of disappointment, maybe in a half-hearted way, chided A&E for letting Phil talk to the publication of GQ in the first place. And see, I disagree with him there. I think the man should have the right to do any interview he wants. Let's keep in mind, this is not the first time that the Robertson family of Duck Dynasty has viewed and expressed their Christian viewpoints. It came out not too long ago that the network was trying to say, hey, can you guys cut back on the name of Jesus in your prayers? Can you kind of hold that back? No, we're not going to hold that back. If I don't include, you know, it's like saying, well, you know, you can have Christmas dinner, but let's not have the turkey, okay? You can have Thanksgiving, but let's leave the turkey out. It's ridiculous. And, of course, the family stuck to their guns and said no. Phil Robertson's church is also very much behind him. The pastors came out and said television shows come and go. He's right. Faith is forever. He is right. He adds that while this was blowing up on Wednesday night, Phil was in church praying for a woman who had been diagnosed with cancer. So was he at home fretting and worrying about his own situation? Nope. He was praying for someone else. Good for him. That's character. You see what I'm saying? That's character. Duck Dynasty's biggest sponsor, Under Armour, says Phil's comments are not indicative of their views, but the company says it has no plans to cut ties with the show at this point. Skyjacker, another of the sponsors, gave a stronger message of support. They said, "We are a Christian-based company and actively share our faith, so standing with Phil Robertson is an easy choice for us." His granddaughter, Sadie, went online with a tweet and said, "Prayer is the best conversation. It's better to go to God before taking it to someone else." And if you want to do more, now yesterday I published on our Facebook page, and I mentioned it here several times, the president of ad sales at A&E. I don't have it in front of me, so if you want it, go to our Facebook page. It's Seth Mila, WSAU, and you'll see posts from yesterday. Also, you can do your own research. A&E, all that information I gave is on the A&E website, so you can go there. There's also a couple other online petitions that have been amassed. Change.org has gotten 95,000 signatures plus, and there's also a website called I Stand With Phil that has 100,000 signatures as a petition in favor of the Robertson family and against A&E. Then, of course, there's those that came out and decided to voice their ignorance and just lack of understanding of this whole situation, Piers Morgan being one of them. I honestly think that CNN is just keeping Piers Morgan around because he's trying to generate some kind of ratings for them. He's an abysmal failure. But Phil Robertson, he says, Phil Robertson is not a victim of political correctness. Really? He says he's a victim of his own repulsively racist, homophobic bigotry. Apparently, Piers Morgan does not understand what racist, homophobic bigotry sounds like. He is such a protected man that he's never actually seen it. And apparently, he's so protected and sheltered, he's never had the opportunity to understand what a God-fearing, strong family man sounds like. That's a shame. So there it is. If you have comments and you want to throw in some anything else on the Robertson issue, please feel free. But we're going to move on. I want to talk about foreign aid. Had a very interesting conversation with somebody the other day about the amount of money we spend other places. And this has been a conversation that I've been involved with before when it comes to people. I challenge you. I bet you know a family or there is somebody in your sphere of influence, the people that you associate with, that not too far removed from you, there is a family that is here in the central Wisconsin area. I bet you know somebody that is going to bed that they're having an issue with making sure there's enough food on the table for dinner. They're having an issue to make sure that their kids are dressed warmly in this weather. They're having a real problem making sure that they have enough money to pay the electric bill and the utilities bills and the fuel bill for the cars and so on. I guarantee you, you know somebody. And so the conversation comes up, why are we spending so much money on foreign aid and we have people here in our country that are cold, hungry, homeless? We're going to jump into that. We're going to take a look at what exactly is our foreign aid, how much do we spend, who's it going to, and how much of it is part of our budget. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, 715-845-2155. It's your phone number.
The News Station, AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Welcome back to Feedback, 715-845-2155. I apologize if you called during the break and we weren't able to get to you. With Tom being out on vacation, means I'm just a little short-handed in handling the phones and the commercials and the show and doing this and doing that. You know, I'm just saying. So if you would like to play, speaking of which, Tom being out on vacation, if you would like to call the show, 715-845-2155, and play the part of the liberal for today's discussion, sure, that's fine. I have no problem. Because right now, we have a liberal-free zone. All right, so let's talk about the economy. Let's talk a little bit about what we're doing for foreign aid. The reason I bring this up is I had a discussion with an individual that shouldn't we cut back on the amount of foreign aid that we send around the world until we have our own problems taken care of here? And it makes a compelling argument when you think that there are children going to bed hungry and cold, some of them going to bed in a shelter or in a car because they don't have a home, and then the fact that we send over $37 billion a year around the world in foreign aid, you could understand that argument. You could understand when it's like, whoa, hey, how about we not spend $37 billion on others until we have fixed the issue at home? So let us take a look at what it is that foreign aid consists of and why. $37,680,000 was sent overseas in 2012 in foreign aid. This comes from the Finance Degree Center, which is a website dedicated to finance education. This includes money for a variety of subjects and reasons. One of the main reasons we send foreign aid out is for national security, such things as counterterrorism focus, obviously, since 2001. We also invest in other countries. These are commercial interests. We invest in other countries to help prop up their government, their economy, because we need allies. We need a government and foreign entities to get up on their feet and contribute to the global economy. And of course, the most common theme for foreign aid, humanitarian concerns, easing the suffering of people around the world. All right, so let's look at how it breaks down. For the $37 billion plus, for security reasons, we spent $10.6 billion. Counterterrorism, stabilization and security, sector reform, and counter-narcotics issues, $10.6 billion. That is considered foreign aid. Investing in people, $10.5 billion dollars. Health, education, social services for individuals and groups of people around the world, $10.5 billion. For helping with issues such as rule of law and human rights, civil society, and good governance of countries, we spent another $2.6 billion in order to promote economic growth in foreign lands, $4.4 billion in areas such as agriculture, environment, and foreign infrastructure. Humanitarian assistance, $4.1 billion. Help protecting people, assisting and giving solutions to water and heat issues, disaster readiness, and, of course, migration management for people that are leaving areas of the world and moving into others. Syria comes to mind, and other areas of conflict. All right. So now you know basically why we spend $37 billion a year. Who are the top five recipients of our $37 billion a year, as is per capita? Well, Israel gets $3.75 billion every year. Afghanistan gets $2.327 billion every year. Pakistan gets $2.102 billion every year. And Iraq gets $1.683 billion every year, followed closely by Egypt, who gets $1.557 billion every year. Now, allow me to refer to an email. All right, now you know who the top five are. Top five, again, Israel, Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, and Egypt. Well, let me refer to an email I got that made me chuckle. But actually, it's got some common sense. The individual who sent the email to me wanted me to keep his identity secret. So, all right, not a problem. If I were president, says the email, I would do the foreign aid budget, what Obama lied about saying he was going to do in 2007, a top-down review of the foreign aid budget. My metrics would be so simple a liberal could do it. If you burned, defecated, or marred our flag in any way, you move to the excrement list, not receiving one cent until you've been on good behavior for a minimum of 5 years. Makes sense. If you've threatened the United States, if you have been hostile in any way, shape, form, or fashion, you get nada. If you attacked our embassy, a citizen of our great country, you go to, that's right, the excrement list. If you treat your women as dogs and you have obvious human rights violations, yep, to the excrement list. I'd consider applying that domestically, too. Remember Occupy Wall Street? Should have been called Grow Up and Occupy a Shower. All right. Great common sense there. A little bit of a problem with practical application because of this. Quite often there is a difference between the people of the nation and the government. In a situation where you have people burning the flag, you have people shouting death to America and so forth, that may not reflect the government as a whole. It may not reflect the people as a whole. But I'll tell you this much. When you do have a government that is anti-American, and the first one I would look at is Pakistan. You got to be kidding me. Pakistan, it just absolutely infuriates me that they're in the top five. We're sending money over there. Pakistan knew Osama bin Laden was in their country. Pakistan hid him. Pakistan jailed the individual that helped us find him. Pakistan is constantly a thorn in India's side. Pakistan is no ally, but Pakistan has the big bomb that goes boom. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Mike.
Hey, Mike, what can we do for you?
I was just thinking back to when you were talking about the homeless and helping people in this country.
Yeah.
The last time I remember the successful way that the government actually helped people in this country is when they let them homestead.
Yeah.
And since the government owns a third of all the land in this country, there's still viable places where people can pitch a tent and build a farm.
You know, you're absolutely right. There's still a lot of incredible farm country. There's a lot of land that can be drilled for natural resources. There's a lot of opportunity out there on what is still considered government-owned land. That's a very interesting prospect.
And my sister, she lives down in Kansas, and she was telling me that there's huge stretches of land in Kansas that has been abandoned. Farms, for one reason or another, they couldn't grow thousands and thousands of acres of wheat or whatever. Mm-hmm. The price was too low, so they just up and left the farm. They just abandoned it.
Mm.
And
so now a financial institution or somebody that owns it and trying to get rid of it that doesn't do anything with it.
That, or some of it even is even falling back to the township or
mm-hmm.
local government,
mm-hmm.
Where if you were to apply and, say, homestead 40 or 80 acres, you could start a small organic farm or whatever you wanted to do, or small cow operation or whatever.
It's a heck of an idea. I like that idea. Thank you, man. I appreciate you calling in.
Yes, sir. Bye.
That's an excellent idea. If we're going to use government assets to resolve this issue, do it in a way that encourages the individual to depend on themselves and make something of it. That's not a bad idea at all. Okay, when we come back, now that you understand that $37 billion of financial aid and foreign aid is being spent every year, and you know who the top five are, what percentage of that is our national budget? You're thinking $37 billion. Well, it doesn't take a lot to start doing the math. But $37 billion, what percentage of that is our national budget, and who are the biggest consumers of our national budget? It may surprise you, and it may bring a little bit of a different perspective to all of this. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News, we will be right back. 715-845-2155.
I felt really compelled to call on my way into work.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
And what's wrong with that?
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.